Let us pray. God of justice, teach us again your ways and write them on our hearts so that we may follow faithfully the path you show us. Amen. The season of autumn is the season of harvest. And we can say that our Bible readings this evening tell us about two very different kinds of harvest. The harvest of regret and the harvest of faith. In God's words for us tonight, there is a challenge, a word of warning. Are we sowing for a harvest of regret, or are we sowing for a harvest of faith? Let us consider each in turn. Firstly, we heed the warnings of the harvest of regret. And both our Bible readings have examples of regret and self-inflicted pain. It is the kind of self-inflicted pain caused by the love of money and the pursuit of wealth. And this harvest of regret is personified in that subversive story that Molly read to us, that Jesus told about the rich man and Lazarus. Let us note Jesus's audience. He tells this parable against the Pharisees, who, Luke tells us in verse 14, were lovers of money. In that story, the rich man who has the regret is unnamed. The poor man is Lazarus. A reminder that a name cannot be bought, it is given. The rich man wants for nothing. But in contrast, the poor man Lazarus sits in poverty outside the rich man's gate, enduring terrible suffering. He is called Lazarus, a name which means God has helped. God has helped Lazarus when the rich man did not. And when poor Lazarus dies in poverty of starvation, there is no money for a funeral. So we are told his coffin bearers are angels who carry him to the bosom of Father Abraham. And when the rich man dies, he is buried and is in torment in hell. And now their roles are reversed. The poor man in paradise wants for nothing, while the rich man begs for relief, for water. In death, they are separated. And when you think about it, that's just how it was in life. And the rich man, still wanting to call the shots, still wanting to give orders, fails in his appeal as he sends for Lazarus to come to him and also to be sent to his brothers to warn them. They will not listen. Now and then, they will not be convinced. Even if a man were to rise from the dead, said Jesus. And we know he was speaking about himself. And still the Pharisees would not believe. What is the message here for us? Well, it's not centered on the reversal of fortune. This parable isn't about some eternal equation that computes if you live one way in this life, you will live in the opposite way in the next. If it was, then there would be no imperative for Christians to act now and change things to make poverty history. Jesus was about bringing the poor life before death as much as life after death. And we see that in his compassion throughout his earthly ministry, how he fed the poor. Like Jesus, we are to be the friend of the poor. Remember that name, Lazarus. God has helped. God has helped the poor and continues to help and serve the poor through human hands, through your hands and mine. God is the God of justice and equality. We hear that through the voices of the prophets throughout the Old Testament, that when the scales of justice are tipped against the poor, God calls for change, for a redress of the balance. So Jesus' focus in this parable is not about the reversal of fortunes, rather about the sharing of fortune. It's about listening to God and his word and acting on what we know. It's listening to the warnings against idolatry. That rich man truly reaped a harvest of regret. If only I had remembered my poor neighbor Lazarus. If only I had loved my neighbor more than my money. If only I had opened my gates to him, God might have opened the gates of heaven to me. It's been rightly said that money is a passport to everywhere except heaven. And the early church needed to heed the gospel's warning about the dangers of wealth. For the early church was not without its lovers of money. Some had become trapped by such love. And as we heard in those words from 1 Timothy chapter 6, there was that warning against sowing seeds which eventually lead to that harvest of regret. Paul wrote to Timothy saying, "Those who want to be rich fall into temptation and are trapped by many senseless and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money, not money itself, but the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. And in their eagerness to be rich, Some have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many pains. One commentator describes how a parallel may be drawn here with the imagery of a wild beast which, leaping at the bait hung over a pit, falls in and is impaled on the stake below. They have pierced themselves with many pains. The love of money is a danger. Too many are lured by its charms and drained by its limitations. I'm reminded of an epitaph in a nearby village in Essex, and it reads like this. Here at Stoke by Nayland once lived a wealthy miser who pulled down crows' nests for fuel and got the usual reward of such like thrift in having 500,000 of money 1/2 minute before he died, and nothing 1/2 minute later. In the end, we leave it all behind. The limitations of money have been described like this. Money will buy a bed, but not sleep. Books, but not brains. Food, but not appetite. Finery, but not beauty. Medicine, but not health. Luxury, but not culture. Amusement, but not true happiness. A crucifix, but not a saviour. A temple of religion, but not heaven. Let us always heed these warnings of the harvest of regret. Its crops will always fail. In contrast, let us reap the harvest of faith, a very different kind of harvest. It never fails. It always reaps an abundant crop which nourishes one and all. If money gets, faith gives. Be ready to share, urges Paul. Faith renounces the world and its trappings and refuses to conform to that consumerist mantra, he who dies with the most toys wins. Instead, faith instills confidence and assurance in God's providence, the one who gives daily bread. We are to live with open hands and open hearts. The philosopher Jean-Jacques Rousseau stated that when a man dies, he clutches in his hands only that which he has given away in his lifetime. For we brought nothing into the world, and we can take nothing out of it. Except, I would add, love. Love. Love brought us into this world, and we take love out of it. But he says, if we have food and clothing, we shall be content with these. What would our world look like? What would our lives look like if we lived by that watchword, contentment? There is great gain in godliness combined with contentment. And the harvest of faith is not without its riches, but they are eternal, heavenly riches from God, sown by Christ. And Paul describes them here as righteousness, godliness, or godlikeness, faith, love, endurance, gentleness. Friends, are we sowing this harvest of faith? This is what the harvest of faith can yield in our lives and in all who put their trust in Christ as Saviour and Lord. The harvest of faith has no regrets, only conviction and hope. And Paul writes of this conviction when he urges Timothy to follow Christ's example and hold on to his good confession. He spurs Timothy on to fight the good fight of faith, to battle for the things of God with determination and grit, whatever the weather. With the farmer, the harvest of faith is cultivated in the face of many unknowns and uncertainties. The farmer toils with unknown costs, unknown prices, unknown weather, unknown harvest. And likewise, the environment for Christians today can be harsh. We face opposition. We live with the unknown. But we live in the presence of God, who gives life to all things. And so we are not discouraged to keep on sowing, to labour on with hope in God, who is our strength. God in Christ has our treasure, and he is our treasure. So with conviction and faith, we too will stand up for Christ. Let us thank God today for his word of warning and challenge. And at the last, let us be found labouring in the harvest of faith rather than the harvest of regret. Amen. Let us pray. In the quietness, let us reflect on the word of God for us personally this evening. And may the Holy Spirit seal his word in our hearts. Lord, reign in our hearts again, we pray. Continue to lead us in ways of love and kindness, knowing that even in our smallness, we can make a difference. The tiniest of seed can bring forth a great harvest. Thank you, Lord. Amen.